This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Packer and Durham, everybody getting that free parking, which is beautiful. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll get back to your phone calls with the Alliance matchups that you love to see. And Wes, of course, we got Brian Brown, Louisville defensive coordinator, going to join us in about a half an hour or so. And yesterday, the Associated Press came out once again with their preseason AP top 25 in the ACC, well represented in the top 15.
Yep. Two teams in the top 10, Clemson and North Carolina. Miami checks in inside that top 15 at 14 as the Canes meet Alabama on the opening Saturday of the college football season at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. You know about Georgia and Clemson and Uptown Charlotte. And North Carolina, Virginia Tech on a Friday night. So headline games for the three ACC teams in the top 15.
Right. I mentioned that Brian Brown's going to join us in Louisville and Ole Miss should be fun back there in the ATL on Labor Day night. We got Florida State, Notre Dame. Of course, we'll be in Raleigh.
That's coming up.
Me, you, and Tuffy, and see what's going on there for kickoff. And South Florida comes up to see Dave Doran's guys. So really week one of the college football. And we got week zero first. Keep in mind, week zero is 12 days away. Will not have an effect on the ACC, but week one is loaded from Thursday through Monday night, and there will be some great matchups. You mentioned the top five matchup with Clemson and Georgia. Everybody excited here in Charlotte about that. Miami, I know, is excited to see where they stand against number one Alabama on that front. So, again, college football is upon us, boys and girls, and we can't get here fast enough.
All right. Once again, Mark likes to remind you, this poll means absolutely nothing.
It gives you something to chew on. It's like an appetizer. It shouldn't ruin your meal. You shouldn't get too excited about what the main course could look like. You just kind of chew on. It's like a piece of gum.
Right.
And eventually you throw it in the trash can or swallow it. But don't get too upset with this. If you're an NC State fan, you go, can you believe these idiots, the Associated Press, don't have us on top 25? You'll get your chance to prove it, right? The first poll, the only poll that matters, is the college football playoff poll. It'll be out on Tuesday, November 2nd.
So you're saying we got a while?
Hey, we got 12 days till kick for college football. We got a little bit longer for the
two
ACC.
2 months and then 2 more months.
November the 2nd is when you should get upset or nervous or sweaty palms to see your team's name on that list. It's the only poll that matters.
Right. But this one is the one with the history.
Well, that's great. Means nothing.
Been doing it since the late 30s. That's why we're chronicling this. Now, it is of note. Let's give you a little history here, right? Fifth time in the last 6 years, the ACC's got multiple teams in the top 10. Probably don't hear that very much. It's a note. You've also got the school with the longest active streak in the AP top five in the ACC. And when I say longest active streak, by a long shot, 57 weeks for Clemson?
Pretty strong. That's why that Georgia game is a big deal for that streak, right? That's a big deal if you are into AP streaks. So we'll see where that goes. I got a chance to catch Alabama, who set the record. But, you know, to do that, you got to win, and you got to win a bunch in a row, period. That's why Clemson and Dabo have been so consistent. So good. But that number is pretty remarkable.
Right.
57 to 18 is the list. So, hey, what does it mean anything for the Georgia game? Nope.
Yeah.
Really doesn't.
So, the other topic we've been rolling through this morning, and a lot of great calls at 844-SAY-ACCN, the Alliance potential. ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, in football scheduling. What would that look like? And quite frankly, which game would you like to see your team play? Which ACC Big Ten, ACC Pac-12 game would be the most attractive to you? Pac created a list, gave us eight quality games. You got eight quality games
on
there.
Much to your chagrin.
No, eight quality games. And we'll let folks see the eight quality here. You did a really nice job from a marketing and television position.
I talked about a fan's perspective. Give me a game that, you know what, I see it on the schedule. I'm going on the couch.
Yeah.
I'm putting my feet up and don't bother me.
Why should it be different than any other Saturday?
That's pretty accurate. The first game would be Clemson, Ohio State.
Right.
I think it's the coolest, most intense new rivalry, if you want to call it that. They don't like each other, and that's fine. That's what makes it good. And so give it to me in the regular season. I'm going to go Virginia Tech, Michigan, just because it's got a little residue left to it for the folks up there in Blacksburg from that Sugar Bowl visit. Brady Hoke taking a W. Brady's a good buddy of mine, but man, you know what? I still don't think the kid caught the ball.
Right.
But whatever. Florida State, Oregon. I actually saw that game in person at the Rose Bowl. It wasn't pretty. Florida State wants a piece of the Ducks again. I'd like to see it. How about Miami and USC? We go from La La Land to beautiful fantasy land down there in Coral Gables where the weather's great, beautiful people, and good football. I'd love to see it. Man, give me Pitt and Penn State. I don't want to hear about, man, nobody's returning my phone calls. Let's reschedule this thing. Forget that. We're going to go play football up there, Keystone State. Pitt, Penn State have to play. Hey, Russell Wilson, you are the guy for the coin toss. It's NC State, Wisconsin. I don't care if it's in beautiful Madison or Carter Finley with Tuffy barking at you. Coin toss, Russell Wilson, and give me NC State, Wisconsin. North Carolina, Washington. I know it's bizarre.
That'd be a beautiful game, though.
I don't care if it's in Chapel Hill, if it's up there, you know, right off the lake in Washington. Been to both spots. It is stunning. The unis would be great, and the teams are really good. And give me the all-time showdown, the Martin Jarman Bowl. Martin left as the athletic director at BC to go to UCLA. I want to see it. I've already seen BC beat up USC. How about UCLA? So there you go. I gave you an offbeat game, but give me the big brand marquee showdowns. That's what I want to see.
Just remember the six schools not listed. I took care of you.
That's it.
Yeah, because I had a lot of symmetry this. Seven in the Big Ten, seven against the Pac-12. Here we go. I also chose Carolina, Washington, ironically, for the exact same reasons.
Weird. Bizarro. I mean,
yeah, totally, right? Virginia, Cal, two high academic AAU members, looking strong. Wake Forest, Oregon State, never played.
Hey, by the way, I don't want a spelling bee. I want football, all right? Saturdays, I don't want the spelling bee. I want football.
Wake Forest, Oregon State, first meeting. I also went first meeting a lot, too. Not hard to do against the Pac-12. Duke, Washington State, the game might take 6 hours the way they both throw it around. NC State, Utah, first meeting. Pitt, Colorado, first meeting. Syracuse, Arizona State, Lumberjack Classic. Josh McCary, Drew Brooks, and a watch party we'd show on ACC Network, late from the West Coast.
Voice of victory favored in that game.
Yeah, voice of victory would be favored. All right, let's get to the Big Ten. I took seven teams and lined them up against the Big Ten. I like Georgia Tech, Purdue. They've only played one time. Two great engineering institutions. Boston College, Wisconsin. Now, before Jeff Hafley got there, this would be 22 personnel versus 22 personnel. A little different now, but it still would be black and blue football. Florida State, Michigan. That'd be a fun game.
Yeah.
I like that game. Louisville, Indiana. Have only played twice in football, and they're like driver seven iron from one another.
How about we play that game like late November, and we go football in the afternoon, hoops at night?
Ooh.
Just saying.
Marketing. I love it. Miami, Penn State. Yeah, take me back to the Fiesta Bowl. I just like the idea of the white helmets. And Pack already said, let's make it a white out. Virginia Tech, Iowa. Just feels like one. It just feels like rough and tumble, line up. Get after it football. And I'm going to buy in. I think.
Come to the dark side, Wes.
I think.
Come to the dark side.
I think one of the hottest non-conference matchups of the last 5 years has been this continuous battle between Clemson and Ohio State.
Yep.
I mean, I really do. I think it's happened at the highest level. It's all been in the CFP. We've had a little controversy. Ohio State fans, despite the woodshed job last year, still haven't forgotten the whole Sean Wade deal the year before. In all honesty, let's go Clemson, Ohio State.
Yeah, and I really do think Clemson's in their head a little bit. I mean, still, I put up with it every afternoon, okay? And I still get phone calls from Ohio State fans that are upset of a game. Hey, you just beat Clemson sideways in the Sugar Bowl, and they were great. The Buckeyes were awesome.
Yeah.
But they still complain about the game from the year before, and it's like, guys, get over it.
Fellas.
Please.
Fellas, it's okay.
I know Danny Ford eliminated Woody Hayes. I know.
I'm not sure Danny eliminated him. I think Woody took care of himself.
No, he did. But I mean, Danny Ford's first game was Woody Hayes' last.
Right.
So there was always a little issue in terms of the mental problem.
Right.
And then you got Dabo, what he did to Urban.
Urban Meyer?
He beat him twice. He beat him in the Orange Bowl, which was a great game. And then he shut him out and embarrassed him 31-0, and that bothered him. And then Ryan Day suffered his only loss before Bama got him to Dabo. And I think it became a mental thing. But I just thought they got him out of their system after their incredible performance in the Sugar Bowl, but apparently not. But that series, I still contend that they will see each other multiple times, with or without this alliance, moving forward this decade.
Yeah.
Because both programs are outstanding.
844-SAY-ACCN. Joe in Florida is next with Packer and Durham. Hey, Joe.
Guys, first of all, I love your program, especially when you talk about Pitt football. Wes, you're out to lunch. Pitt got to play Penn State. That's it.
Right.
And and in the Pac-12, I think you got to go with the Pop Warner Cup and go Pitt versus Stanford.
Pop Warner Cup.
That's an interesting angle.
There's a good one. I like that too, Joe.
Pitt Penn State was. That's why it was on the list. It's a game.
I knew you were going to. You're the TV executive. I knew you'd go Pitt Penn State.
I'm not a TV executive, but I know this much. That fly is going to be dead at 10:01 when this show ends.
You're going to tear this studio up, killing a fly.
I'm going to get that sucker before I do anything else. But Pitt Penn State should play every single year. For a state that takes so much pride in its high school football, its professional football.
Sure.
That game is a must.
It is.
The fact that it's not played is absolutely criminal, in my opinion. Criminal. They should be playing. Period.
You could have a state legislature thing on it.
Well, I mean, forget politics. Just common sense should come into play. Pitt should want to play Penn State. Penn State should want to play Pitt.
Look at there.
They've had great games.
I can't remember what Pitt fans call Panther on the side of the helmet. They use a terminology for that logo that I can't remember what they call it. There's the throw into the end zone a couple of years ago. That's quite a ball game too.
You know, when you play 100 times in your history, and then go, we're not gonna play. That's wrong. And I said the same thing about Texas and Texas A&M, and that's why I give a shout out to Nebraska and Oklahoma. You know what? That was a great series. Great teams, great tradition and history. And you know what? Credit to both athletic directors to say, hey, listen, we're going to have a home-and-home series. That's what college football fans want to see. And when we went with expansion originally, we lost some of the great matchups. Well, West Virginia Pitt is a game that should play. Backyard brawl should be played every year.
And we said this yesterday, and I want to reemphasize this one more time. If this happens, biggest word in sports.
Biggest word in sports is if.
Okay. If this happens, you have to be willing to understand if you're Georgia Tech, Florida State, Louisville, or Clemson, all may not be the same if this happens. Do I think those series are going to continue, the ACC-SEC series? I think they have a chance and probably a really good chance. But remember, too, now this is going to be a different world we're moving into. How many times have you said that in the last 6 months?
That's where we are. It's the most fascinating time ever in the history of college sports. It is. We've got more moving parts right now than ever before. We've got the meltdown of the NCAA, the transfer portal, name, image, and likeness, expansion, potential alliance, television packages that are crazy. There's nothing like what we're going through, and it's just different, and you're going to have to adjust.
And look, I'm going to play to the band here a little bit on the ACC-SEC thing. One of the reasons I think it has a chance to survive is because of the television network that has the contractual rights to both conferences, right?
Yeah.
Which is our company.
Right.
That all being said, you can't take for granted that it's automatically going to happen. And oh, by the way, it might have to move in the schedule. You don't know. That's what we're talking about here. When we say this is uncharted water, that's exactly what this is in terms of college football. And because this alliance now, everybody's going to go in. If you get these three leagues to go in, Pac, you're going to have to give as well as take. I mean, you're going to have to give up something to get something.
In all likelihood, because politics will be at play.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt. And there's, you know, we've talked about the veto
part. You've got different numbers of schools.
That's right. And who knows what the SEC scheduling policy is going to be. It's at 8 conference games. You've got to figure it's going to move. If the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12 do their combination here, you know, how many games are we talking about? They'll be locked and loaded from non-conference games. Does that have to be adjusted in terms of your conference schedule? Again, we are way ahead of ourselves here a little bit, but everybody's having fun just kind of looking down the road of what could potentially happen.
All right, when we come back, we've got your reaction on social media too. Some of you have been very good about chiming in. We got some good calls this morning. We'll come back, get into more dream matchups ahead of Louisville defensive coordinator Brian Brown coming up bottom of the hour on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. It'd be Chester, Fuller, sound asleep. Life is good. Robert, Otto, we got the whole crew. The band's back together. We're back in the back here in the basement studio, which is great.
Yeah.
We got one fly that wasn't announced to be here, and it's bothering me. And, again, it's my goal by 10:01.
Take it out.
To take it out.
Yeah.
Fly population
There's
is going.
There's a bat over there.
And believe
me,
I got the javelin right here.
Oh, my God, the javelin to kill a fly. That'd be about right.
If necessary.
Okay.
Whatever it takes.
844-SAY-ACCN. James Mitchell with us earlier. Brian Brown coming up. Louisville's defensive coordinator, bottom of the hour. Let's get James in North Carolina, though, on a call here before we get to some of your social media reaction. James, good morning.
How's it going this morning?
Good.
Good.
I'm just an old-school Carolina fan, and I wanted to give a shout-out to y'all. In my mind and my heart, y'all are the premier show of the ACC.
Bless you. Appreciate that.
Wow.
And I would like to see, when your team, you want to play the best, to beat the best, you have to play the best. So I would like to see Carolina hook up with Ohio State. But if you want to get to brass tacks, I would like to see UCLA come to, like, Charlotte and play Carolina. That would bring more fans, more money. Everybody's talking about money, so... You know, that's my thoughts on it.
All right. Well, Carolina played Ohio State in the 70s at Ohio Stadium.
Archie Griffin, I told you that story,
didn't I?
Yeah.
That little chart back there that I showed you yesterday?
Yeah.
Archie Griffin's like way down the list on the Ohio State chart that day, and the sports information director comes in and tells Dad, hey, you don't have to worry about that. That guy, he's not going to play. First two guys got hurt. And then all of a sudden, here comes number 45 in the ball game, and he never leaves.
200 and what?
1,000 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally had this huge day. Ohio State won the game. The other two guys got hurt, and that was it. Just like Peyton Manning. Remember Jerry Colquitt and Todd Helton got hurt at the Rose Bowl that night when they opened against UCLA, and Peyton Manning comes in and plays and never leaves. That's what happened with Archie Griffin, too.
I know people we got this Georgia-Clemson thing coming up on a neutral site here in Charlotte. We got Bama, Miami, neutral site. But, college football fans love home and home.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, and I don't know where this college football playoff thing is going to go. But, man, if you can get on-campus postseason play, it would be awesome.
Yeah,
I don't even care what the combination teams are.
Yeah,
it's different. It's different when it's home and home.
Good call, James. Thank you. Carolina, UCLA. I'd like that. Carolina, Washington, or Carolina, UCLA was my choice yesterday when I was working on this.
There's a lot of combinations here, right? And that's the fun part about the topic.
All right, let's go social media. Adam Kittmeyer on Twitter says, Clemson, Penn State, Death Valley versus Happy Valley, Solid Orange versus Whiteout. It all makes sense.
You know, they've played once. The only reason I know that is because I was running the Clemson Radio
Gator
Network
Bowl?
Citrus Bowl.
Citrus Bowl.
And, in fact, it, at the time, it was the worst loss ever for Joe Paterno. And guess what? Very, very, very proud of youngsters and Joe Pa, great football coach, but we just whipped butts, and they did. Clemson beat them sideways. They ran him right out of the Citrus Bowl.
The old Citrus Bowl. Oh, boy.
It's the only reason I know that game's been played, because I was actually there for it.
They used to have plywood press box at the old Citrus Bowl.
Very, very unstable.
Very unstable.
Been there, done that.
Chick Jacobs. I'd like to see Clemson play at Camp Randall. Wisconsin come to the Valley. Two electric venues, two great fan bases.
Be good. But guess what? You're not going to get Clemson, Wisconsin. You're getting NC State. And that's where it all started.
According
for Russell
to the television
Wilson. I'm just telling you. Wisconsin does not get anybody else but NC State.
Okay.
Till we settle that with Russell.
Can we get Gillio on the show tomorrow, by the way, to talk about this?
I'm just telling you, there's only one game for NC State.
Joe, I need you on the show tomorrow to talk about NC State, Wisconsin, and all the things that would happen.
It's the only game that makes sense for the Wolfpack.
Kyle Bosch, Miami, Washington. Longest travel between two schools in the alliance.
And remember, if I'm not mistaken, Washington
snapped
the 58
game. Or was that UCLA?
It was UCLA. But Washington and Miami had the national championship conversation going back and forth. Were they not? Am I wrong about that?
Who snapped the streak? Was it UCLA?
I think
UCLA snapped Miami's streak. We'll have a hurricane.
We'll get that straightened out.
Somebody's going to kill us on Twitter and tell us.
Yeah, that's okay. We can kill everybody anyhow.
All right. Blake Diamond. No one has uni swag like Carolina, Oregon. Every year, color rush under the lights. I got to tell you, when Carolina, they got a classic jersey. But when they go all blue, I'm not a fan. The all blue?
Who are you talking to?
The all light blue?
Well, listen, you don't mess with classics.
Right.
You don't.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are and what sport.
Right.
You do not mess with classics. When I see schools do some one-off thing and, I'm like, come on, man. You don't have to do this. Surely you don't need the money. Just do your thing.
Yeah.
Like Notre Dame's going to play Wisconsin, ironically, right?
Washington did beat Miami, by the way.
Well, it was Washington to beat Miami. Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Notre Dame is, every year
they
do the Shamrock Series, and they do some little tweak. And
right.
Some years they do a better job than others.
Correct.
This year when they play Wisconsin, it's okay.
Right.
But in years past, man, they've had some brutal looks. And it's like, you don't mess with the classics. Same thing with North Carolina.
5-0 Tooligan, I'm going to guess that's Louisville, says Louisville, Oregon, the Adidas-Nike uniform combinations would be fire. Yeah, but I'll tell you this. Jerry Allen, the voice of the Ducks, and Paul Rogers, the voice of the Cards, have no idea who's wearing what because you can't read them.
Yeah. That's the broadcaster speaking.
That is. Absolutely. I'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah, that's the broadcaster speaking.
Absolutely. The red on black jersey, I love it until I got to read it.
Try to read it.
Attempt to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vivek, V-I-V-E-K. Pitt at UCLA. Battle of the blue and gold. Two different shades of blue. Maybe two different shades of gold now, too. Pitt's more of a skewing yellow. Not into Pitt UCLA uniforms?
No, UCLA's got great unis. And I love Pitt's unis.
Yeah, Pitt's classic.
And by the way, there was something involving UCLA that I wish was incorporated more often. When UCLA takes on their arch rival USC, they wear the colored jerseys.
Yeah, they do.
I think that is a great look, right? I mean,
let's get back to the old Gary Beebe and O.J. Simpson.
You got it. Yeah. And I just think that game is about as colorful as it gets in terms of, especially still in the Rose Bowl.
That's it.
Perfect venue, and the colors are spectacular.
Yeah.
If you're into that stuff.
All right, I got to get to Jeff Shiflett here. Jeff, you're my people. Virginia, Cal, two of the best public universities in the country.
Again, if you like to read books, that's spectacular, but I want a good football game.
I'm with you, Jeff. Way to sign up on Wes's chart.
I'll tell you what. No disrespect. I like Virginia BYU better. I know it's got nothing to do with this conversation.
They're playing this year.
That's what I'm saying. I like that matchup because of the angle with Bronco. I like that matchup better than I like
last time I checked, they're
Virginia
not in the league. This is not applicable.
I just said that.
I know.
I just said that. Virginia Cal. I mean, come on.
All right. Debbie Downer. I just read these, folks. I don't ask them why. She says UM. He says UM versus UM. Now, is that Maryland or Michigan?
Well, that's a bad game.
Miami versus Michigan?
No, Maryland versus Michigan would be a bad game.
No, but I'm saying UM versus UM. I'm guessing one is Miami.
I would assume so.
And the other one is either Maryland or Michigan.
I'm going to guess Michigan.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. James Patrick Hare. I want to see how many times in a row Virginia Tech can beat Nebraska.
Well, they played recently at Lane, which was a great game.
Tyrod.
Hokies had to score late to win. What's the matter? You got a problem with the dog snoring? That's your man, buddy. Buddy Wes.
Fuller snoring.
He's over there snoring. He's sitting on
your
feet.
We got a fly. We got dogs snoring.
Yeah.
It's great to be back.
Yeah.
Mark Linder wraps us up here before we get to Brian Brown. I want to see Michigan come to Doak as they've never come there after we went there and stomped them in the big house in 91. Mark hadn't forgotten.
No.
Mark has not forgotten.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Bobby Bowden, God rest his soul,
used to go get on the
play
road,
anybody, anywhere, any four for one, a four for none. It doesn't matter. You're writing me a check, my boys would be there to play.
Yeah.
And guess what they did? That's won a bunch of those. He wasn't looking for a return. Didn't need it. Took your money and your W.
Thanks for all the social media and all the calls. Good stuff. Enjoyed it. Right?
Yeah, fun topic.
Yep. All right. When we come back, we go to Derby City. Brian Brown is the defensive coordinator of the Louisville Cardinals, a group that, by the way, may have flown under the radar last year because of all the turnovers on the other side. Their defense is pretty good. Coach Brown's with us next when Packer and Durham continues on a Tuesday.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Many thanks to Kirk Herbstreit, who joined us in hour number one. His new book is out, Out of the Pocket. And while Kirk's talking about a lot of cool stuff in the book, we now want to touch base and go to Louisville because the Cards are ready to make some noise. And Brian Brown's the defensive coordinator. And, Coach, what have you seen so far in camp? Got to look good.
I've seen a lot of growth so far, and you know, these guys are giving everything they have each and every day. They put in a lot of work this offseason, and we're seeing the fruits of their labor right now. And the guys are you know, studying together, doing a lot of extra work after practice. But they put in a lot of work this offseason, and now we're really seeing the fruit of their labor for sure.
Brian, given how weird last year was, just to kind of be back in a team environment has got to be a step forward, because you played a lot of those young guys last year in tough situations. So just to have some degree of normalcy is encouraging?
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, I was telling Coach Sack the other day, the first day of practice, we had a lot of fans out there, over 100-plus fans, as well as scouts, you know, NFL scouts. Those guys can come to practice last year. So now it just feels like 2019 all over again, just normalcy. You know, football is just back to being normal. And playing a lot of those freshmen last year helped us a lot. And you're seeing that now that they've grown up a little bit. And they're making a lot of plays out there at practice this fall camp, and it's exciting to see. So now we got to, you know, put all those things together come that first game versus Ole Miss.
Coach, your guys made a lot of improvement last year. 7 points less, 70 yards less than the year before. But you know what? Getting the quarterback, right? Tackles for loss, the guys up front. I know that's one area you want to improve in 21.
Absolutely. We want to do a great job up front. We say we got to win in the trenches. And our D-line coach, Coach Ivy, has done a tremendous job with our defensive line. We got a great group of young kids that are here that are pushing those older guys for playing time. And so those guys up front are doing a really good job this fall camp of getting a lot of sacks, a lot of pressures on quarterback to be able to help disrupt some end throws so we can get the interceptions and the turnovers that we need to be able to be a plus one team this fall.
Brian, we hear a lot about C.J. Avery and Keetrell Clark, and rightly so. I think those guys that have a lot of thump to them. But there's also Abdullah. There's Diaby. They're playmakers back there that don't get maybe the brand name those two other guys get. We had Yassir last year two or three times. I was amazed at how many plays he made for you.
Let me tell you something, man. Yassir Abdullah is number one, a great kid, a great human being. But he's a kid that's worked hard every single day. All this offseason, he got a little bit bigger, faster, and stronger, of course. He can come off the edge, does a great job in pass rush, and he can drop in coverage. But when he brings that thump, he brings it. And Coach Dennison's done a great job with him, as well as Nickel KK as an outside linebacker. You know, Jack Fagot is doing a great job as well for so far in fall camp. But Yaya Diaby, that's going to be a household name. He's a great defensive end. It looks like a lot of the NFL defensive ends right now. And he gets out to the passer for sure. And we're going to see him playing behind the line of scrimmage a lot this fall.
Coach, I know last year you gave up some big plays. You want to cut back on that in 21. But you know what? You're opening up with Ole Miss. And I've seen enough for the Rebels. I know you've watched tape too. You're jumping on a pretty explosive team on Labor Day night.
Oh, man. Number one, playing against my alma mater. You know, that's where I went to school and played ball. But those guys, you know, Lane Kiffin has done a tremendous job of calling plays. Him and Coach Levy have done a tremendous job of just making, you know, having a lot of explosive plays and putting their guys in position to make plays. And a lot of time it's down the field, right? So with Braylon Sanders and Ningo and Drummond, you know, all those guys, plus you got Plumlee now playing receiver. Matt Corral has done a tremendous job this last season of being a lot poised, more poised than he was his freshman year, and throwing the football down the field. And so it's going to be a challenge, and I think our guys are up for it. And we look forward to going down there in, you know, Atlanta and Mercedes-Benz and having a really good football game.
All right, Brian, here's the funny part about the game. And I say funny because, you know, I'm not coaching in it. The idea of getting a game like that at the front end, and Mark and I had this conversation with Manny Diaz, and we could have the same one with Mike Norvell and Sat and everybody else. These big games at the front are great. But you can't, in what you're doing defensively, you can't win or lose, let that 60 determine the rest of the season, right?
Absolutely. You can't let one game, you know, ruin the rest of the season. It's a long season. You know, that's one of 12. And so we want to try to be in midseason form as much as possible. We know we're going to have some mistakes early on. That will be the first game. But we can't let that deter and determine you know, the rest of our season. That's a non-conference game. Our goal is to win ACC, but our goal, of course, is to win every single game that we step foot out there in between the white lines. But we will not let this first game, you know, determine our season. Hopefully we can come out of there with a win. We want to come out with a great showing, and we want to do a great job of just keeping the ball in front of us and not giving up explosive plays. And if we can do that, I think it'd be a really good game for us, and, you know, we can move forward from there.
Coach, any freshmen jump out at you after the first week and a half of camping or not?
Oh, man, I think it's a lot of them, man. You know, I think about, you know, Ashton Gelati, who's a true freshman that came in as a defensive end for us. He came in early. I mean, he power cleans 405. He set a record. And, you know, he's coming off the edge just as better as Yaya Diaby. He's doing a tremendous job as well. You know, Victor Brown is coming along. Another defensive end. You think about the young linebackers that we have. Dorian Jones is coming along, and he is playing downhill. You know, Jalen Alderman is another name of a true freshman linebacker that's playing a lot with the first group as well. You know, so that goes to show you that he's a really smart kid that loves the game. I just love his passion. He got a little, what I say, he got a little stuff in his neck, you know, that I like about him, you know. And, you know, the guys in the back end, you think about a newcomer, you know, like, you know, Kendrick Duncan, another safety that we got, a transfer safety, is doing awesome for us. Q Cole, we got from Alcorn State as a transfer. He's separating himself apart from the rest of the crew. And the young puppies on the outside with Kanal Walker and, you know, Trey Franklin, Derek Edwards, you know, all those guys are doing really, really well for us. And I'm just glad we got a lot of competition going on, Wes and Mark. You know, it's great to see out there those guys making plays. It's a lot better than what it was a couple of years ago when we first got here.
Coach, I asked you if you had any freshmen that could contribute. Now I'm going to ask you, do you have any veterans that can contribute? It sounds like the freshmen are taking over.
Yes, man, we got a lot of veterans. Of course, you've already talked about Yaya Diaby. Another name that's you know, that's coming up right now, man, is playing really, really well is Malik Clark, is at our nose. He's doing a really good job for us. Ramon Perrier, he's doing awesome for us at defensive end as well. You've already mentioned C.J. Avery, and then the short linebacker that we have that's really, really good, Money Montgomery. He's making plays all over the field, man. You know, he's that true veteran linebacker that you like that that has some stuff in his neck as well. But he talks a lot now. He talks a lot. So we always tell him, hey, let's just play ball. But he loves to talk, but he always backs it up. He's doing great. Chandler Jones is doing a phenomenal job for us this year. He's just a different player, both mentally and physically, making a lot of plays on the field, being a leader for those young guys. And it's just exciting to see this group come together, be a little bit more of a brotherhood than it was in the years past. You know, they want to elevate the standard, being number four in the conference last year in total defense. I think it's gotten those guys attention, and they see that they can be really, really good. And we're seeing a lot of that in fall camp right now.
All right, so here's my last deal. I know Gunnar Brewer has been at this a long time, and I know he coaches receivers, and I know outside of being the DC, you also coach corners. Yes. So Gunnar gets after it with his freaks and all these guys that he gets, and he likes to run his routes, and, you know, he wants the big play down the field. And I was talking to Malik about it in Charlotte, and he said, you know, Coach Brewer's one of those guys. He'll get in the huddle and say, come on, Malik, you got to make that. We got a guy open. So how does Coach Brown and Coach Brewer handle practice? Because I've already heard, you know, in Chapel Hill, Dre Bly lines up against some of those wide receivers sometimes because Dre's starting to look good. So does Coach Brown and Coach Brewer, when the defense and offense start rolling a little bit here, do we have to separate the competitive level of the coaches?
No, man. We I've been knowing Coach Brewer for a long time. You know, I was a GA while he was at Ole Miss, and of course knew his dad while he was a head coach at Ole Miss. But we talk a little noise every now and then. But the coach, you know, being two Mississippi boys, you know. We got a little stuff in our neck as well, but no, it's great competition. We get after each and every day. You know, we talk about, hey, you know, just mix and matches some things. Hey, what could we do differently? What could they do differently? We just work well together, man. I think it's awesome, to have a guy, that coaches what he called the freak show. And, just on our side to be able to give me some advice as well. But no, we have great competition, and you know, sometimes he comes out on the better end of it, and sometimes we do. So as long as it's 50-50, and sometimes 60-40 favoring our way, sometimes I'm in great shape right now.
Coach, here's what I learned from this interview. Number one, you know the three deep on the defensive side, which is a good thing since you're the defensive coordinator. Number two, and maybe more importantly, stuff in your neck is important. And number three, Wes and I are bringing double chins. I don't know if that helps or not, but I thought I'd throw that in there.
No, man, you guys look awesome. You guys look awesome. Right. I'm trying to get back right to on this weight room, man, and lose a little weight myself, man. But I love talking to you guys, man. It's always a great pleasure to just listen to you guys every morning. My dad, he loves your guys' show. And he watches it every single morning. So,
well, give him a shout out, Brian. Yeah, hey, come give on. Him a shout out. Right, come on now, let's
debut.
Go.
You got to get this right.
Yeah. My dad's doing a great job, man. I just love him and all my family. You know, all my family. It's gonna be a lot of Browns and in that stadium come September the 6th versus Ole Miss. My wife, my kids, Bryson and Elle, and my mom, of course. But we look forward to that matchup versus my alma mater, and hopefully we can come out with a win.
Thanks, Brian. Great to see you, man.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Thank you. Good to see you guys as well.
Great stuff with Brian Brown. He's, I think he's one of a handful of guys. I told you this. It's been a real treat to be able to talk to some of these coordinators in the offseason and now as we work our way to kickoff. And a couple more to go before we get to the first full week of games. But I think that group played really under the radar last year. People started focusing on turnovers and all those things. That defense brings a lot of people back. That Monty Montgomery will hit you. Yasir Abdullah will hit you.
It's all about stuff in your neck. That's what I got out of that. So that's what it's all about. You got stuff in your neck, you can make things happen.
Make stuff happen.
University of Louisville, baby.
Yeah. All right, coming up, final thoughts on this Tuesday morning. A special on this date, by the way, is also a note. We'll do that when we come back. Next Monday, all access with Miami Football Pack.
Going to the U.
How about this? Dig in on Manny Diaz and the Canes. Prepping for top-ranked Alabama. You'll see it next Monday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, right here on ACC Network. Streaming live on the ESPN app. All right. Sit tight. More to come on the Tuesday show. Oh, the Say Hey Kid.
Get out of here.
Oh.
My boys, my man. Are you kidding me?
Willie Mays? Is that a Giants jersey?
That's a Giants
jersey.
That's
not. That's before he went to Queens, huh?
All right. First place Giants.
That's yes. Even back then. Back after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
The technique is you really want to one hand on the bottom, one hand towards the top of the hammer.
Okay.
Lift it up. So there's a rock right here.
Uh-huh.
Can you come down?
Ooh. Okay. Wow.
What do I do?
So when you're pulling it down, your top hand come down to your bottom hand.
Okay. Y'all like how Joey's taking so long to tell me this. Like I'm just casually holding it.
I'm like,
okay, ready? One, two, three.
Ooh, we can work on that. That'll definitely break it, though.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Are you sure? I'm not sure.
The fact that E.J. Manuel doesn't have a broken foot today is downright remarkable. Seriously. Poor Kelsey. And listen, she's been through it here lately.
Yeah.
It's good that she's rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
But E.J.'s lucky that he's got no broken bones today.
And his black Jordan 11s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good shoes now.
You can't mess with those.
No, not at all. You see what's happening over here?
Yeah, your man, Buddy West, is back in the studio.
Yeah, me and Fuller.
And Fuller, you and Fuller have always connected. So,
yeah, me and Fuller. Fuller connects with everybody, though.
Yeah, he loves it. Fuller is a lover.
Yeah.
All right. Chester is – Chester will give you a little attitude, but Fuller is a lover. So yeah. He's come right up against it. He just wants to make sure you're good.
All right. Late-breaking social media. Ready for Alliance matchups. Gary Giovannetti. Hey, Gary. Thank you. I'd love a revival of the once-annual Syracuse-Penn State game.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'll check with Macri on that. I think that's a good one.
I like that, too.
Yeah, like that one? Ben Waldman, simplistic. He just wants Maryland. Ben just wants Maryland. Duke, Maryland, bring the Terps back. Just give me Maryland.
Well,
can't get it in basketball. Just give it to me in something.
I got to be honest with you. I know Coach K, this is his last year. But you know what? That ACC Big Ten Challenge, Duke making one more road trip to College Park
would have been
one for the – that to me, as a fan, was kind of a missed opportunity.
Sorry, Fuller. I moved my hand. Sorry.
You gotta be consistent. You gotta be consistent with the dog.
Daniel says,
not a cat you're dealing with there. It's running around wild, like a mountain lion. You got a real well trained hound there.
Daniel says, Canes at Utah get to find out who the real you is. Now I'll tell you this. Now the Utah people pretty serious about their little hand sign. You know, Miami's got this. Utah does something like this. I can't remember what it all is, but everybody be serious about it. That would be serious.
Can I tie this all into the AP preseason top 25?
Sure.
In my humble opinion, there were two teams that kind of got snubbed a little bit.
Utah being one?
Utah's one. And I know they snuck in, I think, late in the AP. They're not in the coaches. But I think Utah and NC State are two teams that I think have the potential of having a really, really big year.
Right.
That could be, not forget top 25. They could be better than that.
Yeah.
And I'm just, again, you want a little sleeper picks early?
Sure.
Utah, NC State, my opinion. I'm talking about nationally now. I'm not talking about in the league and anything like that. I think both of them can make some noise in 21. Both of them. Keep an eye on them.
On this date, 1976, Willie Mays hit home run number 660.
God bless him. Look at those. Those are classics right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. That's old Candlestick, it looks like.
Now, Candlestick, The place, the mecca that we play in now and demonstrate the best record in baseball is sensational. Right. Candlestick was a dump.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I
did the last 49ers game in there.
Oh.
When they played the Falcons on a Monday night.
In 90.
And it was 10 years too late then.
In 92. I think it was 92. The U.S. Open is at Pebble. Yeah. I go out there for road trip.
Sure.
Go to the U.S. Open. The Giants are playing San Diego at Candlestick. Mm-hmm. I go back to Candlestick for the game. I buy a great seat right behind home plate. I froze. I mean, it is so cold. This is the middle of June. Mm-hmm. And the wind starts blowing in there. Man, what a dump.
Is that your all-time favorite Giant?
Yeah, he's the reason I'm a Giants fan. As a kid, I saw Willie Mays for the first time on television. I loved the Unis. I loved Willie Mays and grew up in North Carolina. All my buddies are Braves fans and Yankee fans. And I wanted something different. I said, those are my guys. And the rest is history.
Not Juan Marichal?
No, but I like Juan when he brought a bat to the occasion.
John Roseboro.
Straighten things out. Tell everybody who's boss. Yeah.
Vita Blue?
Vita was more, to me, Vita was more Oakland of A's. An Oakland A's guy.
They were, and they 35 were great in the 70s. Oakland, 14. Yeah. I was a Vita Blue guy.
Yeah, I like Vita Blue.
Love
bad,
Vita Blue.
Yeah.
He's awesome. The reaction to our Alliance Dream Games, thanks everybody for the calls. We are working on something for tomorrow, photographic evidence of ACC trips to the West Coast.
And I'll give you a hint. Can I give you a hint?
Sure.
Hey there, boy. Hey. We come all the way across country. See you boys. We can make it a road trip.
We got some experts working on some photographic evidence.
Let me just say this. There's some ACC schools. Carolina went and played USC out in Anaheim to open the year. And in the spring before the game, Mickey Mouse scored a touchdown in the spring game. Well, in the 60s, when you went out there and it was kind of like a 2 or 3 day deal. So let's just say there's some photos on file of some late 60s experiences.
You better believe there's some experiences.
All right. Thanks to Kirk Herbstreit. Don't forget, Out of the Pocket, available today or wherever you buy your books. See you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for another edition of Packer and Durham. Stay safe, everybody.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.